What's your big thing, and why haven't you done it? It could be a book or a script, a painting or a musical work, a new product, a startup company, or a charity. Whatever it is, it's a big creative idea of your own devising. But you work on it only fitfully, or you never even start. And the gap between aspiration and completion results in a psychic overhang that is uncomfortable to live with. Do a little reconnaissance and you will find that many people have a big thing lurking in their psyches. A friend of mine wants to write a memoir about growing up as the daughter of a professional wrestler, but she is raising two children and has a full-time job and no extra time. A composer friend has been trying to finish a musical for the last 20 years, but he's not satisfied with what he's done on his own and has been unable to find the right collaborator. A bartender in my neighborhood has been working on a note-taking app for people with attention deficit disorder, but his own case of ADHD keeps him from finishing it. For these people, it's not enough to do work for others. They feel a deep-rooted need to create something of their own. Big things are many and varied, but they share these main qualities. They are personally meaningful to the people who seek to complete them. There is often no firm deadline for completing them. Their structure is large, complex, and at first, unclear. They require sustained concentration and effort. Before you embark on a big thing, it is important to look inside yourself and understand your main motivation. Be honest. Is your primary goal to become rich and famous, or a saint? Maybe you have been indulging in pleasant fantasies to that effect. Motives can be mysterious and mixed. Yes, your acclaim-seeking ego may be one driver of your goal, and that's not all bad. Narcissism gets a lot done in this world. But here is one of many paradoxes that surround the big thing. Ego may also be holding you back, and it may be the ultimate in narcissism not to do your big thing, because when you don't do it, it can remain vague and perfect in your mind and allow you to nestle in the illusion of your greatness. Once you buckle down and try to do it, you are confronted with uncertainty and imperfection at every turn. It's hard. And your efforts are so paltry compared to how they appeared in your overinflated imaginings. In the end, then, committing to labor over the thing is less egotistical than continuing not to do it, since you are forced into a state of humility in the face of its and your flaws. Good point, says the fearful part of yourself that is great at coming up with reasons not to do something. Isn't it folly to work on this thing that is the puny product of a limited mind, and that, owing to its very magnitude, carries a high chance of failure? Not at all. I am going to argue that for some of us, not all of us, working on a big thing is one of the best ways to connect with the world. It is how some of us become most truly human. Nancy Molitor, a psychotherapist practicing in Chicago, says many of her patients come to her not because of some outright calamity, but because of an unmet creative need that is making them uneasy. Even if they say they are in therapy because of a problem in their work or family life, the discussion often comes around to some big dream never pursued. A woman with adult children may have wanted to get a PhD or write a novel when she was 25, but then marriage and children took precedence. A divorce or other life change can bring that yearning back to the fore. Molitor sometimes treats people who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, or beyond, who never pursued their big projects and are now feeling deep regret about it. Usually, she said, she tells them it is not too late. We all want to leave something behind, she said. We all want some part of ourselves to be remembered. Some people will say That's their children. But children may not be enough, especially after they grow up and pursue their own lives.